Everybody say, I'm going to stay in my lane. All right. Today we're going to deal with a couple things that probably most of us have wrestled with or will wrestle with. Betrayal and rejection. So you better get ready because God, you know what's amazing is after each service, some people come and go, how did you know? Like, who told you? No one told me. Let me just tell you, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know we're all going to battle rejection and betrayal. But we're studying the life of David and his mighty men. This is a lifetime message. I could literally just stay on this topic for the rest of my life. But as long as the Lord has me here, we're going to be here. We're literally looking at David and his mighty men as a picture of our lives today. How did God develop them and prepare them for what was to come? We haven't even got into who their names were, what the stories were that they did. We haven't even got into some of their own betrayal. We haven't even gotten to David's betrayal of them. And my prayer is that I never betray you. I don't ever want to be disloyal to you or the Lord. The only way that I'm never going to betray you is to be fully loyal to God at all times. I have a friend. Can I tell you guys a quick story? Well, I'm going to anyway. I know a guy that was pastoring an on-fire church. This guy was an incredible intercessor. Church was blowing up and on fire. In fact, it's in another city, by the way. I would even send people living in that city to go to that church. Now, I'm a distant acquaintance with the guy, but I know him. I met him, and I followed him. Recently, completely left the ministry. In fact, I know three or four people that have recently completely left the ministry. This guy said something to me that just really popped in my mind. He said, you know, everybody's asking me what happened. Like, he had to completely walk away for his own sanity. And as you guys know, there are many pastors that commit suicide. Many. Right? We only hear about the big mega church ones. But trust me, there was one in Freer locally that killed himself in this region last year. And so what he said something that's just, man, it really stuck with me. He goes, there wasn't any one thing. Instead, it was a death by a thousand cuts. Death by a thousand cuts. I ought to preach a message titled that. Death by a thousand cuts. What you have to understand is that people are going to hurt you. People are going to leave you. People are going to betray you. People who were once loyal. See, if you actually study out the word betray or betrayal, it means disloyal. The core root of the word is disloyal. I was once loyal to you. I am no longer loyal to you. Disloyal. No more. I'm removing my loyalty for your life. I've had so much disloyalty happen to me. I've been married before. I did not have an affair, and I did all I knew to do to love my first wife. She was disloyal to me. She had an affair. She was abusive. She was crazy. I should have never married her. I thought it was the Lord. I was sure it was God, but it was little g me, not big God, big G him. You guys know what I'm talking about? Isn't it funny how we want to put God on what our heart really desires? See, the mind always justifies what the heart wants. And so, but she was disloyal. It was full betrayal, right? Affairs are like, man, brutal. I had an elder here at this church. I loved this guy. One day, he just ghosted me. How do you get ghosted? Like, what did I do? Bury you in the back alley? Just gone. Little letter, no reason, gone. No more loyalty, but still in the body of Christ and still a Christian. I've had people that have been in leadership here leave four times and come back. I've had people text me in drunken stupors, not even sure how they got my number, at 11 o'clock at night, women, drunk, manifesting their anger and hatred at me. Because what most people really want is a pet pastor. But I don't have time to be your pet pastor. I don't want to be locked in a cage, and I don't want you to throw me a bone. Now, I love you. I got 3 kids, 5 coffee shops, a church that's growing. I got to hear from God and bring the word of the Lord to you and stand before the people, bring his word. But I need to empower you. If you really love me, feed the sheep. Take care of one another. We've created a place and a space. You have a call. If you're called to this house, you have a purpose here, not to just sit and be a chair warmer. You have a call to serve and love and give. I have people that come to this church. There's some around now. I don't think it's any of y'all. But if it is any of you in your heart, repent. Okay? I can tell you so many stories of people over the years, especially when I first got to town. I had long hair. I was a nonconformist, wild-eyed, reckless love firebrand. Now, I have, in all honesty, I have spiritually stabilized. That's a good word. Spiritual stabilization. I should preach that message. That's a good title, right? Write those titles down, Ryan, will you? And we used to do outreach to the city, and these people would show up, high revelatory, highly prophetic people. And it still happens to me today. They say things like this: Pastor, you are everything I've ever prayed for. Pastor, you are the answer to my prayers and answer to this region, and I am called to you. I am called to be your personal prophet. I'm called to be your personal intercessor. Can I just tell you what goes on in my mind when I hear that now? You will be out of this church in about 30 days. And they don't say. You know why? Because your job's to take care of one another. And if it's all about me and not about God's people, there's a problem. Even Jesus said, do you love me? Let's just role play. I'm not Jesus, but he's in me. Your answer's yes. Do you love me?
Yes.
Feed my sheep. Do you love me?
Yes.
Tend the lambs. Do you love me?
Yes.
Feed the sheep.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I don't need help. Doesn't mean I don't want you in my life. Get past all that. We all have a job to do. But people are going to betray you. People are going to leave you, and people are going to reject you. The main thing is, what do you do with that betrayal? And that's what we're going to study out today, because David's life was almost from beginning to the end of his life, a life full of suffering, hardship, betrayal, but also with it came exponential growth, promise, a kingdom, and a Messiah. This is the tension. Don't you feel like you're always living in that tension? It's like, I got all these promises and faith and speak to the mountains and worship and warfare. And at the same time, it feels like all hell and hardship's breaking loose and constant betrayal or rejection or testing and difficulties or whatever it is. It could be sickness, it could be family, it could be friendships. I mean, think of how long-suffering the Lord is with you. Do you ever think about how forbearing the Lord is with you? I'm like, I don't even know how the Lord puts up with me for so long. But he sure does, doesn't he? And then he says, you didn't catch me by surprise. I loved you. I cared about you. I died for you. No, it's not okay that you stay that way, so let's get you out of it. But God uses the wilderness to transform you, to test you. See, the Israelites marched through the wilderness for 40 years. They weren't supposed to march that long, but the wilderness had a purpose. Let's say together, the wilderness,
has
a purpose. Can I just get an amen?
Amen?
Here's the thing. We don't like to embrace the wilderness. You all want the mountaintop. You don't want valleys and hardship and demoniac people around you. We want the mountaintop. I love the mountaintop. I mean, fireworks. I mean, explosive dynamite in the spirit, power, healing, signs, but not the valley, not the demoniacs and the hard, crazy people vying for competition of who's going to be the greatest. Welcome to the church. But see, God has both, because he knows what you need when you need it. Betrayal is also exposing other people to danger when they're vulnerable. There's betrayal at the border. Like it or not. I mean, I don't love those people. Get past being religiously or politically correct. Thousands of people coming in undocumented, infiltrating our country is a betrayal of the border. Treason is a good example of betrayal. You confided me in private information, and I told someone else. Betrayal. And I'm going to ask you a question here in a minute. You can sit on it. What do you do when God shows you in advance somebody's going to betray you? I'm going to make you guys think today. You are going to get betrayed. I love my wife. She was here first service. But I have no one but the Lord. I love her. I have no greater relationship on earth than my wife. There's no greater relationship on earth than a marriage, more than your kids. You guys understand that? All right. But David got the revelation. Who in heaven do I have but you? Who on earth do I have but him? In her best day, in your spouse's best day, they're not the ones designed to make you happy. Woo-wee! Yeah! Either Jesus is your all or he's not. Is he enough or is he not? And that's the ultimate test. Is Jesus going to be your everything, or is it constantly your eyes are on your spouse? Because if they are, you're going to have some real unhappy moments in your life. So last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the rescue mission to Keilah. It's a city that means fortress. David and his men are on the run. They're outlaws. They're hiding out in a cave. Word comes to David that the Philistines, another enemy, is ransacking the town. Specifically, they're taking all the food from the threshing floors. They went and did all the work, grew the harvest. Harvested the wheat. Separated the wheat from the chaff. Put it in the threshing floor, threshed out the chaff, and then here comes the enemy. Thank you. Do you ever feel like you did all the work and somebody else just came along and took it? And then what we do is we fortify our lives even more. This is what addicts do. They imprison themselves. You lived in a prison for 16 years, but there are people in prison their entire life and still in prison today. Some of you might be in prison right now. We need a jailbreak. Who needs a jailbreak? Let's be honest. Come on, y'all. We all got areas we need a jailbreak. We should title this message, I Need a Jailbreak. So, David and his men rescue Keilah from the Philistines when news comes. And then he finds out the king has heard about it and is on his way now. I want to take you back a minute and remind you something about all these men, these 400 people that were with David. They were already very hesitant. What you talking about, Willis? You want, huh? I'm on the run. And you want to take me into a high-risk battlefield situation? You have straight lost your mind. You've got to put yourself into the Word. Live these stories. They're on the run from their distress, their debt, and their discontentment. And now David is considering going into this town, which puts them in a greater risk situation. Because if they get into the town that has gates and bars and walls, they could get shut in. They knew it, and Saul ultimately knew it. So if I go there, I'm going to be stuck. We talked a lot about this a few weeks ago. But the men are afraid. They're still in debt. They're still discontent, and they're still distressed, and they're on the run. And last week, I told you that it doesn't matter your geographical location. You can't run from your heart. You can't run from your heart. You got to face it. And the fastest way to kill your fears is to face it. The fastest way to bring healing to your heart in the area of forgiveness And bitterness is to face with Jesus in the spirit the hurt that came into your heart when you were a child, your relationships, and let Jesus bring healing and cut those roots through forgiveness. Let's say this together. Forgiveness is the golden key. That forgiveness and that key brings an axe to the root to set you free. It's not that complicated. And God reminds you of things in your life that you need to let go of and you need to forgive of and you need to repent of. Repentance and forgiveness is the key to healing. So these men are on the run from their own selves. And now David is considering taking them into another fight. I can only imagine the tension. So the men say to David, no way. Have you ever had people that you've trusted and loved tell you not to do something that you knew the Lord was telling you to do? This was that situation for him. I do recommend advisors and wise counsel in your life and that you get people around you that hear God's voice. But in the end, you can only be obedient to what the Lord tells you. And remember, you gauge everything or judge everything by four things. Is it illegal, immoral, unethical, or unbiblical? And if it's not any of those things, now if your friends are advising you to not to do something that's unbiblical, you better listen. God's not going to tell you anything contrary to his word, all right? That's why you must know the word. You must get a treasure chest of God's word inside your heart so you have understandings about every situation that you face. God has an answer for everything in his word. There is a word for every situation in your, every thought, every situation in your life. So I can only imagine what they were thinking. First off, it's 400 men plus one in a cave. Let's just think about that for a second. This has got to be like there's no toilets, there's no running water. You don't have toothbrushes and deodorant. Probably a lot of BO going on inside that cave. They're in a cave in the wilderness following a man on the run. They were on the run. Everyone was running. Everyone was running. And now the mighty men against their will and desire would need to run again. Except this time they're running into battle, not from it. Or they could choose to stay in their cave. Or they could follow David's lead from the safety of the cave into this high-risk situation. What are you going to do? Well, they decided to follow David, as we know. We don't really know all the details, but they followed David out of that cave to go rescue the city. And now let's pick up at 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. We're picking up the story. David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and struck them down with a mighty blow and took away all their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah, verse 6. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. Now, I haven't told you much about Abiathar, the priest, but if you go back a few chapters, David on the run had gone to Nob, a town in Israel, where he acquired a piece of very important equipment, a treasure, and it was Goliath's sword. He also got food, unleavened bread, that he ate for himself and for his mighty brought to his mighty men. Saul catches word that David had gone to Nob, goes there and has another man who had ratted David out, kill all the priests and kill Abiathar. I'm sorry, killed Ahimelech, the high priest. So now you got a priest on the run. I mean, can you guys, this is like a movie. We need a movie script for this. Well, I mean, we have the script. We just need the movie. Think about it. They're all on the run. David goes and rescues the city, and God, in his kindness to David's life, brings a very important person who has a very important thing in his hand. It's another key. It's a massive game of connect the dots. Later, just Google connect the dots and find the most complex connect the dots page you've ever seen that you have no idea what the picture is, and that is your life. Seriously, doesn't your life often feel like one big game of connect the dots? Let's sing a song. I'm a dot, you're a dot, we're all dots. No, don't sing it, But do you understand I'm a dot? If you're called to this house, I'm a dot. You're a dot for me. And then we're all dots together. And then all along your life and journey, God is the networker of his kingdom that connects the dots for reasons and purposes that he has designed. And you don't see them, but you must follow the Lord in the game of connect the dots. Here comes Ahimelech. I'm sorry, Abiathar. And he shows up with an ephod. He's a priest on the run. He's got nowhere to go. His dad and all his dad's friends were killed. So he finds David and Keilah and he brings the ephod. Now, many of you don't know what the ephod is. I'm going to give you the most Crayola simple definition of the ephod for everyone that likes Crayola simple. It was a breastplate. It was like a harness that the priest would wear tied around his back, and it had all the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the priest would carry it and wear it on him to represent all the tribes of Israel, constantly on his chest and on his heart. And then it was a priestly garment that when he went in to offer sacrifices, he carried the people with him. There you go. That's the simplest definition I can give you. But underneath it was a very key mystery that isn't talked about a lot. It's called the Urim and the Thummim. Now, you guys can research this. This is an entire message, but the Urim and the Thummim, they were stones used to communicate with the Lord to get very specific answers. Now, no one fully knows because there's not a lot of information what the stones were, and no one really knows exactly how they answered a prayer. There's Hebraic tradition that on the stones were symbols that maybe like casting lots or dice, but the stones would reveal yes, no, or don't go, right? Like when I was a kid, I had that 8-ball, right? And you'd roll it around. Some of y'all used to play with Ouija boards, and if you got one in your house, you better get rid of it. Now, the Urim means lights. Thummim means perfection. These two stones, it's also a mystery, but tradition says that they actually lit up to reveal the will of the Lord. Now, it's a mystery as to why God used those and why only the high priests were supposed to use them. David would later would be accused of using them improperly because it was supposedly only for the high priest. But I want to say this to you guys. You don't need a priest with an ephod in his hand. And you don't need to wear an ephod today. You know why? Because there's an ephod in your heart. Everybody say, there's an ephod.
There's an ephod
in my heart. Because when you're a son or a daughter and you're covered by the blood and you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit, God can reveal his will to you if you'll sit, spend time, and inquire of the Lord the way David did. In this chapter, David inquired of the Lord 4 times. 2 in regards to we go into the battle and 2 in regards to what the city of Keilah would do when Saul got there, and to confirm that Saul was coming. But what I find so fascinating, and this is the main point of why I told you this, in one of David's most difficult situations, he's in a city, walled in, he just rescued it, word comes to him that here comes Saul. So he's asking the Lord, is Saul coming and will these people betray me? Let's read that. Let's pull up verse 7. When Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, so somebody ratted him out, we don't know who, Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah and besiege David and his men. That ephod was the critical key. The priest and the ephod were the critical keys for the answer of divine protection in a life or death matter. I'm bringing this point up because God has this for you. First, you have a high priest named Jesus. That's way better than this guy. So you're never stuck. Say, I'm never stuck. Now, do you have a question mark in your life? Yes, we all do. But remember, the devil always puts a question mark where God puts a period. That's why you have to know what God says and what he's saying. His word, logos, and his word, rhema. The written word and the spoken word. You will learn this in time. When you read God's word, even while I'm preaching, God should be speaking to you. You should be hearing the Lord on top of the words that I'm giving you. God brings people and keys to your life when you need them the most. I can't tell you how many times God has intervened in my life in my most desperate hour. Anybody else? It's like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it 11th hour. And we've got our statement. God's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. And this priest was right on time. Because think about it, David, you're going to really need this, ephod. You're going to need this. Now, I'm telling you that storms and trouble and hardship for our nation is coming. If you think it's tough now, you haven't seen anything yet. My job is to prepare you. My job is to get us all ready. I need to be ready. But that doesn't mean hiding out in bunkers. And yeah, I may have a lot of ammo and guns and some extra food. But in the end, only Jesus is really going to save me. And I'm pro-gun and I'm pro-preparation. But let's say this together. You guys ready? I have y'all repeat because it gets in you and it stays in me. These are statements you will remember. Never forget this one statement I'm about to tell you. Ready? Say, there's no time for preparation when promotion comes or the storm comes. It's ready or not. Am I ready or not? And some of you aren't ready. But stick around, get in the Word, seek God's face, and you're going to see it. If you ran backwards, run in. It's like, how do I get back? Same way you got out. Jesus didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There's no shadow of turning. You don't have to pay penance to earn your way back to God. Get your hands up. Don't you think the devil wants to tarnish your life? You were created to shine, so he wants to tarnish you. And then we come in all sulky, oh man, my terrible victim life. And in worship, we don't lift our hands because it's all about us, and we think God is going to strike you with lightning. Let me tell you something. If God was going to strike you with lightning, we'd all already be dead. Stop believing the dumb lies about the Father's heart, will you? So Saul, check this out. I think this is hilarious. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had somebody use prayer and God against you? Pull this scripture back up. Verse 7. Saul goes, huh? God answered my prayer. This is the Lord. Saddle up your horses. Get your swords, man. We're going to get David and his mighty men. This is all the Lord. I'd say probably one of the most difficult things is when your brother not only betrays you or your sister or a family member or a Christian, uses prayer in God's name against you. Even Jesus' mom and brother said, he's out of his mind. We got to pull him out of the house. What's he doing? Even the brothers tried to betray him. If you're really the Messiah, go to Jerusalem. It's the feast today. Why don't you go show yourself? Which would have been a trap, which was betrayal, which would have prematurely put Jesus in a position he shouldn't have been in. Yes, it's hard. Yes, the church can turn on each other, and I wish it wasn't the case. But that elder, he's forgiven, and I love him, and he still loves God, and you forgive them for they know not what they do. You sitting here bitter and angry and mad and getting jaded, can you, I got a smile on my face and I'm not dying by 1,000 cuts. Do you know why? Because Jesus is my strength, and whether you betray me or not, he's my hope. Am I right? You know, I've been saying this to you all so long. If you could just get this in your head, you'll be much better for the ride. Most people do not do what you think they should do or what you tell them to do. So when they don't, you're like, your job, their response and action's not your responsibility. The faster we can get this, the faster you'll be free. You're not dying. I get cut, but they get healed. Yeah, I've gotten 1,000 cuts, but I got 1,000 healings. You're not my source. You're not my hope. This church, this is God's. He's the king of his church. Forgive. Bless and not curse. Some of y'all need to forgive somebody today, and God's speaking to you right now. And we're going to do an altar call, and you're going to let go of it. You're going to leave it here. Because you can't go where you're supposed to go until you get this in your heart. I'll just tell you, we have a situation going on in our life for the last 3 years. And I'm not going to use names and give you the whole story. There are an entire group of intercessors praying against my wife and I right now. We've been called wicked, the devil, a cult. They're online, all praying. And it's not because we did anything wrong, trust me. It's some know the story. And they're like, those wicked pastors, and let's get prayer chains, and everybody praying against it. But see, every tongue that rises up again, oh man. You only the Lord is your defender and protector. I don't have to fight that fight. In fact, I bless those people. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Bam! Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, he will condemn. You guys should be so on fire today. You should be so on fire. So Saul calls, verse 8, all the people together to go down to besiege David and his men. Saul was also going to actually kill all the town, by the way, just so that you know. That's how full of rage he was. When David knew, I don't know how David knew, verse 9, but he knew. God can give you discernment and wisdom by the Spirit. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, with the ephod and the Urim and the Thummim, he said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to look, to what? Destroy the city for my sake. But here's what I really need to know. I'm paraphrasing. Are these men going to shut me? The word deliver here is to imprison me. See, if you think of the core root of deliverance, it's to break you out of bondage. Just own it. I look at people all the time. Ask my friend. We were in the coffee shop the other day. You got a guy that we love that's got a bunch of kids that's broken, hurting, and needs Jesus so bad. And I looked him right in the eyes. I said, dude, you need deliverance. It's the simple understanding of deliverance is to break you out of bondage. Bondage of porn, bondage of addiction, bondage of lies, bondage of fears, ungodly beliefs, generational stuff, spiritual hurts. God wants to break you free from all that. Let's just all say, I need deliverance. It's so spiritual. So spiritual. It's your whole life. So he says, are these people going to deliver me into his hand? Is Saul going to come down as your servant has heard? Oh, Lord God of Israel, I pray tell your servant. The Lord's like, yeah, he's coming. Verse 12, then David said, will the men of Keilah that wants to know it clearly, are these people that I just rescued, that we just risked our necks for, the one that I saved, I baptized you, I married you, I rescued you, I met with you 25 times. Are these people going to betray me and deliver me when Saul comes? Because let me tell you why. When people are in self-preservation, they'll do anything they can to protect themselves. That's reattachment disorder, is that you will hurt and anybody to save yourself. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's what's going to happen. And so I just put myself in this situation for a moment. Picture it, you and your 400 men, plus the priest. And by the way, there's more people coming to Keilah to follow me. And here I'm going to show you in a minute, it grows to 600 in the midst of the greatest tension and risk he was ever in. And they got to be thinking to themselves, what am I going to tell the guys? We're in a fortified city with gates and bars. We've saved the people. There's 400 of us and we're growing. And we just got all our wheat. And by the way, we took the Philistines' livestock. This is a perfect opportunity to camp out. Stay in my walled city. Let's defend ourselves. Let's take a stand. This is the perfect time. We got everything we need, bars, gates, walls. Let's just stay. That's what I think they might have been thinking. Let's stay and fight. That would have been actually the easiest thing to do, is to fortify yourself in a fortified city. And isn't that what people do in the midst of hardship, hurts, pains? People got butt hurt at church. Oh, sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. They got their rear end hurt at church. Seriously, it's like, that church, that pastor, they didn't look at me, that been those people. The devil's such a master manipulative liar. So what do they do? I'm gonna fortify myself up in my fortified house because those people are crazy. I don't need the church, they're all broken. Pastor's only out for money, it's all about the money. Trust me, I make way more money in the marketplace than I would here, way more. So what were these men thinking? You know, there's always going to be times when we want to be comfortable, where it's easy and safe, but that's not how it works with the Father. Here's a good example. The Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John forsook all. They're following Jesus. They go up the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus shows up white like lightning. There's Moses and Elijah, and Peter's like, we're not going anywhere else. Let's camp here on the mountain. But God had a valley that was vital with a demoniac and broken people. You can't just stay camped out on the mountain. You can't just stay camped out in Keilah. It's time to get up and keep on moving. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness. 40 years, we're following a cloud around for 40 years. Cloud's going in a circle. It's like, cloud, stop. Now 2 million people got to camp out. Put yourself in that shoes. 2 million people set up camp, set up the whole shop. Cloud, oh, God's presence. And then he moves. We got to pack up again and again and again. Imagine at Mount Sinai, thunder, lightning, God's voice. I mean, this is awesome. I mean, we're terrified, but he's here. Let's just stay here. The cloud's always on the move, and you must move with the cloud of God's presence. And being comfortable is not a promise anywhere in the scripture. Being comforted by the Holy Spirit is. It's the thing with drugs. We want to be comfortably numb. Never going to satisfy. David would pray a very specific prayer. He would find out that he wasn't safe, neither were his men. The city, when they got backed into a corner and Saul and his army showed up, what would they do? They'd lock him in and sell him out. So David finds out in advance that the city and the people that he just rescued is going to betray him. What would you do with that information? You know, when I see people or I know people, first off, I already know betrayal is going to happen. It just happens. I don't know who. I don't believe my wife will ever betray me. I don't believe I'll ever betray my wife. I'm believing none of y'all will ever betray me. I'm an optimist, an eternal optimist. I believe the best. I always see the best. But you know what? People do. So are you going to love better or are you going to hold a grudge? Whew, man, I feel the Lord in this place. So David probably could have killed them all himself. It's like, I just saved you? The Lord has told me. He could have taken his prophetic word and thrown it in their face. That happens in the charismatic world, doesn't it? People take the word of the Lord and they get information. It's like, I already know. And then they hurt you with the word. But David didn't do that. Instead, you know what he did? Let's go, men. And I don't know how the men responded, but see, they couldn't stay safe in the city. They had to move back to the wilderness. And I wrote this down. High-risk situations with proper responses always lead to exponential growth in the midst of extreme tension and obscurity. And some of y'all are thwarting the promise of God through complaining in the wilderness. I have had to repent for complaining. It's easy to complain. But what if God was bringing the resources and the people to your life in your most difficult time, and here we are manifesting as in a pity party victim mentality, and all along, David's army is growing in the midst of betrayal and rejection. So look at it, verse 13. David and his men now, about how many? He went from 400 at the cave to 600 in the city. They arose and departed Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. You know what the Lord showed me? There's coming a day where people are going to go wherever they could go. That's what happened after 9/11. There's going to be things coming down the line for this nation that people are going to need houses of refuge, personal homes, which is why we have house fires, and this house. This house will become a lighthouse of safety and refuge. This city will. I believe the city will. It's not just Rock City. There's a movement of God in so many churches of this city. Let's celebrate what's happening at New Life. Let's celebrate what's happening at the other churches in this city. Revival is not just hitting one church. If it all hits here and everybody comes here, that's not revival. And they leave all their other churches, not revival. We have a warped perception of revival just because healing and baptisms and more people. We're building a family and a house and a foundation. Stay rooted, stay connected, and watch what God does. How many of you are new to this church in the last 6 months? Raise your hands. Look around. There's a bunch of people. And you guys keep coming back. You're finding a home. You're getting strengthened. You'll get into community. God's healing your heart. So that we have a foundation and a home. When people come out of the world, what do they need? They need a house. Not a church per se. They need a family. They're orphans. So 600, they go wherever they could go. I just love it. So where are you going? Wherever I can go. Hey, what's next? I don't know. Wait, you don't have a vision? Wait, you don't have a plan? Now, I'm not against visions and plans. I'm all about divine revelation so that you don't perish. I'm all about not casting off restraint, delayed gratification. But we're so about, I got to know what's next. I got to know what's next. The problem is, if God tells you what's next, you'll put the cart before the horse. And you don't know how to trust God day by day. And you think you're going to get it all in this next season. And God's like, no, now is your time. Connect the dots. That's right. Connect some dots. Where are you going? Everybody say, wherever I can go. Don't you think, you know what percentage of people are going to church in this city? Probably like 1-2%. Yeah, take the size of the city or the metroplex. Take all the churches. The average church size is about 75 people. Do the math. Maybe it's a little bit larger, but I'm making a bigger point. The point is, there are so many lost, hurting, broken, outcast people in this city. I don't have to fight for anybody from another church. I don't have to worry about church transplants. God will lead all that. What we want is the unchurched, the hurting, the broken, the outcast, the outlaws. And God's brought many of you here from another church, and God sent people from this house to another church. And that's okay. Be spirit-led. You don't get to pick your church. When we had a while back, somebody leave the church, somebody said, Are you afraid they're going to take people with them to that other church? You know what I said? If they can take those people, bye. Because if my voice, if your ear does not have my voice, see, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. I'm not going to fight for your ear. It's so freeing when you get that revelation. You know what I care about? Just go to a healthy church. If I'm not it and this isn't it, find one. Too many people to be worried about that. I love you and care, but just grow. And that guy that left, as far as I know, he's planting another church and growing. Thank God. I already forgave him. Pre-forgive. All right, I'm going to close for you guys. We're going to pray. Verse 14. Saul stops chasing him for a moment. David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness. The title of this message is Wilderness Strongholds. God has caves and training for you and places in your most difficult times to prepare you for what's lying ahead. See, we haven't even got to the promotions, Hebron, promoted king, mighty men. I mean, we have like barely touched the surface on this story. But I want you to see, he stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the wilderness of battlement. That's what that means, battlement. He was trained for war and trained to fight in some of his most obscure, odd, hard, strangest seasons. Yeah, Saul kept seeking for him, but guess what? God protected him. So I'm going to leave you with this. What is the point of this message? Do you ever walk out and go, what was really the point? Well, here it is. Make sure you're inquiring of the Lord in every decision you make. Yes. Number two, follow the Spirit and stop complaining about wherever he leads and puts you. Oh, they weren't nice to me. They looked at me funny. Why is there somebody with flags? Why is that worship so long? Pastor didn't meet with me. Welcome to stronghold, a stronghold in the wilderness. God, it's comfortable is not a fruit of the Spirit. None of the strongholds are going to be comfortable. I don't remember. Listen, you can have the nicest house, the best land, and all the farm animals and sit there and be in distress. I know. I was making $180,000 single with no kids, and I was in distress. I don't know how that happened. Because only thing that can satisfy is the transformation of your heart with Christ in you. Number four, guard your heart with what you, with the intelligence God gives you. Oh, I had a dream. You know, people have dreams about me betraying them. They're like, Pastor, I had this dream. And in the dream, I was fighting and struggling, and I came to you for help, and you turned and walked the other way. I get these dreams all the time. Like, Pastor betrayed. I don't know why. I know you'd never do that. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been hurt by a pastor? Yeah. Oh, yes. Have you ever had people that you trusted in and leave you in a band? Oh, yeah. See, you can have a subconscious dream that reveals the heart of fear that I'm going to abandon you and leave you. I pray I never do, but you should already determine that the Lord is your hope and your strength. I surround myself with people so I don't, and I got a very discerning wife, and I got a lot of friends, and I live in the public eye, and I never want to hide, ever. I practice what I preach. I don't believe that I'm immune. I believe I need to be surrounded with godly people and spend a lot of time with the Lord. And I have a fear of God to never get out of the secret place. You should have that same fear. You should hate sin. Let's just say that I hate sin. Say it like you mean it. I hate sin. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. You should have a hatred for sin. If you don't have a hatred for sin, you will the hard way. All right, next point. Guard your heart with what God tells you. It's not your job to take revenge. Make sure you're not bitter, with those who have been disloyal to you, rejected you, and betrayed you. Even if you know in advance, even if you saw it coming, you don't have to be prideful and arrogant. Forgive them. Forgive in advance. You got to live in forgiveness. You cannot live angry and bitter. Oh, God told me, I'm going to use what God told me as a weapon. Stop. This is what crazy prophetic people do. I already knew. I saw it coming. You're going to leave me. I'm going to throw up at that. Just throw up. Second service, y'all. Here we go. I mean, this is second service at its finest right here. That's right. Even if it's your trusted friends and advisors, even if they're telling you, don't do it, and God told you to do it, and it's not illegal, immoral, unethical, or unbiblical, just be honorable to the Lord. Next, be willing to make changes when God says to. Do not allow comfort and convenience and safety to keep you complacent. And then finally, are you fully trusting God in every season of your life? Because here's the lie. The lie is, next season, tomorrow, when this gets better, when this works out, when we get past our issue, oh man, it's gonna be riding to glory. I'm riding on my white horse as a shining prince with my full armor because I've finally arrived. That is in heaven after you die. I don't know when we're going to understand that God's got us in process to work things out of us so we'll never stay the same, or you won't be able to contain what's coming in front of you. Don't you know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? And you'll complain your way right out of it or take the long way home. Take the long way home. You sing the song. Take the long way home. 40 years. You want 2 weeks or 40 years? 2 weeks. You know what's funny is I got a lot of people in here that walk the 40 years. We need the fathers that, listen, you don't want to walk that 40 years, bro. You don't want to walk that 40 years.